The waiting is nearly over. The homes are being decorated. The gifts are being wrapped. All across the world, people are looking forward to the big day. But for a short while, we are going to do something different. We are going to look back to the night hundreds of years ago when there were no decorations, no wrapping paper, not even the warmth of a home. The night when Jesus Christ was born. The very greatest gift, the very first Christmas. So I invite you to come with us in your imagination. Come to Bethlehem to behold him. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Long ago, God's people, the Jews, were waiting. They were waiting for a gift God had promised them, a very special person who would help them in their difficulties and save them from their enemies. They called that person the Christ. If we look in the Old Testament part of the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, we learn that this person was going to be a king.
Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. So a new king will arise from among David's descendants. The Spirit of the Lord will give him wisdom and the knowledge and skill to rule his people. He will know the Lord's will and honor him and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity.
But the Jews did not know how long they would have to wait. Already it was many hundreds of years since God had promised them this wonderful leader, and some had given up hope. But many continued to wait for the gift, and they searched the parts of the Bible that they possessed to find out all they could about him. Those who studied hard had worked out that the Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, a suburb of Jerusalem, where David, the one who killed Goliath, had been king many years before. I suppose they imagined this great man would be born in a palace or a temple, so it is no surprise that hardly anyone paid attention to a dingy cave behind an inn, in which cows and goats and sheep were kept. But we know that once, in Bethlehem, David's city, there stood a lowly cattle shed. Bethlehem was a confusing place to be that night. You see, the Emperor Augustus had conquered so many nations, he had no idea how many people he ruled over. So he decided to take a census and count them all. Everyone, no matter where they lived, had to return to where they had been born. So Bethlehem was full of strangers trying to get a bed for the night. There were to be no excuses. Even if you were old or ill, you had to go to be counted. Augustus would not even make exceptions if you were pregnant, not even if the baby was due to be born any day. Now that is particularly important for two people in the true story we have to tell. They are called Mary and Joseph. And Mary was expecting her baby very soon indeed. Mary must have been anxious because she knew already that her son was going to be no ordinary baby. An angel had visited her and told her that her baby would be the very first person the Jews were waiting for. She was to be the mother of the Christ.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Well, that was a surprise, wasn't it? And now, almost 9 months later, here was Mary having to travel about 80 miles from her home in Nazareth to Bethlehem. Fortunately, she was not traveling alone. With her was Joseph, who also knew exactly who her unborn baby was, for an angel had visited him also. He was a faithful friend to her and had promised to marry her. I imagine that because of Mary being pregnant, they travelled slowly. The result was that by the time they arrived in Bethlehem, the inns had no rooms left, and the only shelter they could find was a stable.
Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
And so that is where Jesus, the long-expected hero of the Jews, was born, in a stable. He was wrapped in strips of cloth, and because there was nowhere else to put him, Mary placed him in the animal's feeding trough, the manger. Not very Christmassy, is it? Not very jolly. An unmarried mother, her fiancé, and the long-expected Christ stuck in a smelly stable, waiting for the morning. But God plans things in quite a different way from us, and he knew that something that no one else in Bethlehem knew that night. God himself was the father of that child, and his son Jesus was his gift to the world. For that baby grew into the child, who grew into the teenager, who grew into the man, who did everything it took for humans to live as forgiven people, restored as God's friends. So let us imagine Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as silently, the wondrous gift of Jesus is given, and as Bethlehem sleeps, deep and dreamless, we will watch the silent stars go by. If you knew that the Christ had been born, who would you tell? The Prime Minister? The Queen? Well, God chose to tell some shepherds on a hill outside Bethlehem. Perhaps they were the only people awake at dead of night as they guarded their sheep against robbers and wild animals.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the sky was full of angels, singing praises to God.
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to all people on earth, for God is pleased with them."
The shepherds rushed into town and searched out the place where Jesus and his family were resting. And all the people they told were amazed at what the shepherds had seen while they watched their flocks by night.
So Jesus was born, the Christ for whom the Jews had waited, born into a Jewish family, visited and talked of by Jewish shepherds. But God had bigger plans for this world than the Jews could ever imagine. His plan was not just to bring back the Jewish people to be his friends. His plan was to bring people from the entire world, pole to pole, into his family. And while Jesus was crying and feeding and sleeping in a stable in Bethlehem, his birth was having an impact on people hundreds of miles away too.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is a baby born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset. And so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod asked, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem, in the land of Judea," he was told. "For this is what the prophet wrote: Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah. For from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time that the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child. And when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him.
The visit of the wise men probably happened sometime later, and Jesus may have been a toddler when they arrived. But nevertheless, I think it is right for them to be in the stable too, with their precious gifts of gold, sweet-smelling frankincense, and a spice called myrrh. But most of all, let's join them in worshipping Jesus, for they were the very first people who were not Jews to sing praise with one accord to the heavenly Lord. And we here today are the most recent.
We have just heard and seen a presentation of the birth of Jesus, the Saviour of the world, the Christ, the Lord. And in this presentation, we have noticed how God has come to us in Jesus in unexpected ways. We would expect that when the Saviour of the world was born, he would be born to people who would be rich, influential, who would be rulers. But instead, Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, two ordinary people. We would expect that when the Saviour of the world was born, he would be born in a mansion or a palace. But not so. When Jesus was born, he was born in a cave or a shed, because there was no room for him at the inn. When the Saviour of the world was born, we would expect the first visitors to be people of power and influence and wealth. Maybe politicians, religious leaders, or monarchs. But no, the first visitors were ordinary working people, shepherds. We would expect other visitors to the Saviour of the world to be fellow countrymen. But this wasn't the case. The only other visitors mentioned in the Bible are wise men from the east, non-Jews, foreigners. And so when God chose to come and dwell with men and women, he did so through his Son Jesus Christ in unexpected ways. God loves the world and all people, and he comes to us, and he may speak to us in unexpected ways. Like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men, let's make sure that we are ready to listen to him and receive him and give him our allegiance. Amen.